every hour in the Andalusian town of Linares, birthplace of Andres Segovia, the bells of the town hall clock ring with a fragment of this piece, Segovia's Estudio Sin Luz. Segovia wrote it while recuperating from eye surgery. Study Without Light is the translation. It's one of hundreds of pieces, miniatures, transcriptions, sonatas, concertos, recorded by the great guitarist between 1928 and 1977. Many of them are now newly available on CD. Chimes on a town clock are a small thing, really. For Segovia's admirers and disciples, no tribute they can pay could possibly be too high.
Segovia is to the classical guitar what Einstein was to physics.
Guitarist Elliot Fisk, whose own career owes a lot to the great master, gets positively hyperbolic when talking about his mentor and friend. But that's true of all classical guitarists of the 20th century. They would literally not exist had Segovia not lifted the instrument higher than anyone imagined it could go.
I started to hear Segovia's records and listen to them, and just it sort of invaded my entire being. His music and the way of playing and the variety of playing, and it seemed to speak of such a wonderful world, a wonderful universe. I wanted to break down the doors and get inside that universe and walk around in it and marvel at it and participate in it. I spent hundreds of hours listening to his records, hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Fisk had started to play guitar at age 7. He was growing up in the 60s, lugging around stacks of Segovia's LPs, listening to the gems of his recorded output, the big pieces by Rodrigo and Ponce, Castles of Spain by Toroba, and the Bach transcriptions. Andres Segovia had been completely self-taught and played his first concert in Granada in 1909 at age 16, with an official debut in Madrid a few years after. As word about him spread, he traveled to the European capitals, Paris in the early 20s, then Switzerland, Germany, Austria. Everywhere he went, he created a quiet sensation, audiences leaning in to hear the nuances of his performances on an instrument more often strummed and sung to.
In a way, it was a rediscovery, a reconnection with a great tradition from the past, and in another way, something completely new. New in the charisma that he brought to the instrument, new in the tremendous drive that he had to continue his entire life, taking this crusade to the people of the world.
Part of the crusade was this business of redefining what the guitar could be, moving it into the concert hall, interesting classical composers in writing music for the instrument, which they did, and drawing on pieces written for the piano, violin, string quartet, as source material for his transcriptions, music by Mendelssohn, Brahms, and Grieg, arranged for guitar. And Segovia synthesized various performance styles, and in the process revived the practice of playing with the fingernails as well as the fingertips, which he did even before the introduction of nylon strings made it more acceptable.
That was revolutionary, and all of the Targa disciples were horrified. Here's Segovia playing with nails. I think the resistance to the nails, maybe because they may not sound that good on gut strings in the hands of some people. Segovia, however, if you listen to particularly the old recordings from the 20s and 30s, you'll hear this an unbelievable sound and an unimaginable expressivity. You hear Segovia play, and it's not so much that you're just in awe, but you wanted to do likewise. You wanted to make that sound.
Elliot Fisk, as it happened, continued to try to make that sound. He studied the guitar and listened to Segovia's records, and before he was 20, was heard one night by a friend of the older masters. Fisk was invited to play for his idol.
You know, here I am 19, Segovia's 81. Our ages added up to 100. You know, what did he need at that point in his life with another young player? He really didn't need me at all. But he was so generous and so warm.
On that occasion, Elliot Fisk did something that can only be described as bold. He played for the maestro Segovia's own transcription of the Bach Chaconne. The original Chaconne was for violin. Many, including Brahms and Busoni, had transcribed it for piano. there were at least three orchestral transcriptions. Segovia had had the audacity to create a guitar version in the 1930s, an extremely difficult one. So Fisk played it for the master and was invited to return each year for a visit, which he did until Segovia's death 15 years ago.
Of course, the Chaconne was, for me growing up, an important thing, and in the history of the guitar, an immense monument, because I think that piece, more than any other, put the classical guitar on the map.
That's a landmark, and there are others.
The Concierto del Sur by Ponce is kind of a miracle, the way that he plays it. I mean, there are things he does there that are just, to this day, I don't know. I don't know how he did them, you know.
But for the real Segovia sound, something much more modest.
His recording of that little tiny Chopin prelude, dum, bum, ba, bum, 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 it's about four lines, and you get this unbelievable magic in such a little amount of space.
Little Chopin prelude, by the way, you may have to wait for. It's been discontinued for the moment. But the Bach Chaconne and many other treasures await your rediscovery on CD.
For my lifetime, Segovia remains the sort of North Star, you know, the guiding light, the point of orientation.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.